the Stockyard in Brighton. This is the Boston College Football Show with Bill O'Brien, presented by Bud Light. For the next hour, we'll get you caught up on everything BC football. The Boston College Football Show is presented by Bud Light, proud sponsor of Boston College Athletics. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Please enjoy responsibly. And also brought to you by McGovern Auto Group, the official auto group of Boston College Athletics. It's time to talk BC football. Here's John Meter Perrell.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Stockyard in Brighton. Yes, a resounding round of applause. Absolutely. Thank you, Pete Cronin and Bill O'Brien.
I appreciate all these people being here on a Tuesday night.
Tuesday night.
Feels like Tuesday.
Give them a round of applause.
Do you realize what the – yes. Take a bow, everybody. Take a bow. Do you realize what this is like for Cronin on a bye week? He's all turned around.
I am completely bamboozled.
This is a Thursday.
Today is Thursday. That's right. I got to keep reminding myself.
Thursday.
Everything is screwed up.
Could you do something about
not scheduling Thursday night games?
I don't have anything to do with that.
Well, you're a man of influence, however.
Don't forget, you have a Friday game coming up.
Friday's okay. Thursday's weird.
It is weird. Yeah. It's bizarre. Last week was bizarre. Just the bye week's kind of weird. There's two this year, by the way.
Was that technically a bye week?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. But you got to watch a lot of college football. We'll get into that with Coach coming up. But let's talk about the bye and how you handled it and how you managed it leading into the Virginia Tech game.
Yeah, I had 3 days of practice. Really good. Had scrimmage situations, full pads. These guys approached it the right way. Cannot say enough about these guys. You know, they, look, I think if you review the season, we're 4-2. The two games that we've lost, give credit to Missouri and Virginia. They did a good job, but in some ways we gave them the game. So we've got to stop doing that. We've got to, like I said, after the Virginia game, we've got to learn how not to lose before we can learn how to win. And I think we spent a lot of time doing that this last couple 10 days.
Oh, with the extra time, I'm sure you gave a lot of guys who aren't getting a lot of playing time a look. But also, did you kind of reintroduce the need for physical football play, or the opportunity where you could reintroduce a lot of the physical aspects of practice that you kind of get away from during the regular season?
Absolutely. We were in full pads. We had some live drills, blocking, tackling. And then we, like you said, the guys that haven't played, because I think this is a big – and I'm not just saying this, because we have a good crowd here and, we have people listening, but there's a great future of BC football. There's a lot of good young players. You guys have been to practice. And so we had some live scrimmages of probably about 100 plays total of live scrimmage reps for the guys that hadn't played that much. And I think that really helped, because it helped us as coaches to see these guys in live, it's first down, go play ball. And I thought a lot of guys showed up really well. I don't want to go down the list of names, but there were probably at least about 40 kids that showed out very well in those scrimmages. So that's pretty good to see.
I think it's important to note that there's a kind of a dividing line in college football. A lot of coaches wouldn't do that for fear of injury. And I mean, it's the default. Why don't you practice more physically? Well, I don't want to get guys hurt. But you came out of this, well, you don't have to tell us, but it sounds like you came out unscathed, but a better football team.
Yeah, I think, Pete, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying you would agree with this, but I think you would, is that you're more there's more of a tendency to get injured when you're not playing football the right way.
I would agree.
Where you're like, okay, hey, be careful here and be careful. It's not a careful sport.
No.
And so you've got to – there's no air, there's no in-between, right? There's a walkthrough, and that's what we did, for instance, the last couple afternoons. They're on fall break, so we practiced in the morning, full pads, went at it, and then we had walkthroughs in the afternoon, which was really helpful for this Virginia Tech game. But the thing is – when you get full pads on, let's go live. Let's go live and let's see what guys can do. And the players really enjoy it. That's what I like to see. That's why the players play. They play to knock the stuffing out of each other. That's why you play.
That's exactly why
I played.
I got to hit people.
You can get away with stuff on that field that you can't get away with out on Beacon Street.
They would arrest most of us.
That's why I didn't play, by the way.
I thought you played at Weston.
No, I played baseball.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Non-contact.
Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that. Michael, my son, as you know,
yes.
Loves baseball, loves everything, loves football.
Of course.
But there was a point in time where he's like, you know what, Dad, I don't think I'm going to play football. I'm going to stick with it. And I said, you know what? You're a smart man.
Smart man. Smart man. I'm a lover, not a fighter. Pete's heard that many times.
I'm leaving that one alone, too.
Yeah. You should leave that alone.
I know you're not a fighter.
We've been together for 20 years. I got a lot of stories.
Take a timeout. All right. Six games in. Last time we saw you, we spoke about this on the podcast, but the Virginia game, a game of missed opportunities, as you said. You're up 14 to nothing. What happened from that point?
I mean, you know, we've there were several things that happened. You know, we on defense, it was third down. It was third and 10, third and 13. Guys are giving great effort, but we're not aware of exactly what's going on around us. And you know, we give up big plays and couldn't get off the field. We give up long drives. You know, it's okay to, you know, once in a while give up a long drive, but it's a 16-play drive where you're getting worn out because you can't get off the field on third down, and then you stop them on fourth down. That's okay. That's fine. But, like, at the end of the day, those are long, long drives. And a lot of times, you know, we hurt ourselves. Offensively, we got to stop turning the ball over. If we don't turn the ball over you know, we're going to win games. We have to take care of the ball. And it's not all Tommy. Like, you know, I'm not pointing at Tommy. I had a great conversation with Tommy this afternoon. You know, batted balls happen, things like that. Some of it's his decision-making. He's got to do a better job. He's made some really good decisions this year. He just needs to cut down on some of the decisions that don't work out for us, where he doesn't need to make that decision. Reserve the right to punt.
Yep.
But there's other instances of – you know, a targeting call on defense, or, you know, hands to the face, like things that we cover all the time that keep drives alive. So it was a combination of things in the second half that, you know, I really believe we fixed. We showed it to those guys, and, you know, I really believe in this team. I really do, Meter. You know that. You've been around me now for a while. I really like the team.
Yeah.
I think they've turned things around this week in practice.
Well, you talk about the, you know, you've been kind of coaching us in terms of what you're expecting from this football team, how you're coaching them, how you're teaching them. And that game was a microcosm of all the things that you said needed to be avoided.
Yeah.
And they just all came at once.
No doubt.
And it ended up being, that's yep. You take a few of those plays out of there, it's a 3-point game.
Yeah, and the turnovers lead their touchdowns. So, you know, the ball comes out of his hand, they return it for a touchdown. The ball gets batted in the air, which those things happen, but they convert that to a touchdown two plays later. You know, we have a hands to the face. We have a targeting call that keeps the drives alive. Both of those happen on third down. They would have been punting, and so they keep drives alive. They end up scoring on that drive. So, you know, we've got to learn again, like, let's play really hard. Let's play very focused. Let's play with great discipline. And you know, we can win these games. Guys, I don't mean to go off on a tangent here, but, like, if you look around the country, watching those games this past weekend, the weekend before, Vanderbilt beats Alabama. That is unheard of. Having coached at Alabama, that's – but it happened, and Vanderbilt did a good job.
Yeah.
You see where Arkansas beat Tennessee. You see this past weekend – many overtime games, you know, or you see Utah loses to Arizona State. Like, anything can happen. It's portal. It's NIL. There's a lot of parity in college football. It's going to come down to the most disciplined teams. I'm telling you, if you're a disciplined team and you can take care of the football, and you can make good decisions for your team each and every play, you know, consistently, you got a chance to win.
Cronin's, we talked this week, he said, hey, Meade, you know what BC's record is when they rush for more than 100 yards?
Undefeated.
4-0.
Yeah.
And when you don't, you're 0-2.
0-2, yeah.
So was that a focus of the bye week to get the running game going?
Yeah, look, I think at times we've run the ball well in spurts. I mean, obviously in the four games that we won, we did run the ball really well. But we've also got to understand that there are things that as a coaching staff, that we can do better to help run the ball, if that makes sense. I don't want to really get into all the details, but I think we've really worked hard on that as a coaching staff. It's a very hard-working coaching staff, and they've worked hard to try to improve different areas, and that's one of the areas we've really tried to improve, and so hopefully that'll show up over these last six games.
And it's interesting that I get it all the time because you want to avoid being cliche when people ask you about the program, what's going on, and you try to think, okay, let me think of how I can say this without sounding like I'm pulling it out of the cliche book. But the reason the cliches are cliches is because they're true.
They're true. I mean, they're not all cliches.
But you go right down the list, and the game Saturday was, I think, was a lot of stuff happened simultaneously or very close to each other that kind of compounded the situation. But you take a few of those plays out, it's a three-point game, and you're in it till the end.
Right, and that's the thing. Like, that's what's frustrating. You can't take those plays out. Those plays can't happen. And I think that our team understands that. These kids, the thing that's great about these kids is they feel bad, right? Like, if you went into a locker room after a loss, which, you know, I'll just be honest with you. Last year at the Patriots, went into a few of those locker rooms after the loss, like, it was, all right, move on to the next.
Yeah, I'm getting paid.
These kids feel very, very bad about it. And they want to do right. They really want to do it the right way. They have a hunger for winning, and there's great leadership on the team. So, you know, that's what makes me feel good about it. They really came back ready to go, and they're going to try to fix it.
Yeah, we have no doubt they will. We have no doubt there's going to be a bounce back on Thursday night. We'll get into Virginia Tech coming up on the BC Football Show. He's Bill O'Brien, Pete Cronin, John Mita Perel. Thanks for joining us as always. Now this from our good friends at Bud Light.
Some days you hit snooze. But not today. Today, you have to go on a run to get burgers for the tailgate. You've got to haul something heavy, a cooler stocked with Bud Light. When you've got beer and football, nothing is hard. Until the other team scores. Bud Light. Easy to drink. Easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus. Copyright 2024 Anheuser-Busch. Bud Light Beer. St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey, Eagles fans, come and enjoy one of Metro West's hidden gems at Shining Rock Golf Club. Shining Rock is one of the premier public golf courses in New England. And now open our new 9-hole par 3 course, the Acorn. At only 867 yards, the Acorn provides a great opportunity to work on chipping and putting. Book your tee time by calling 508-234-0400 or visit their website at shiningrock.com. Go Eagles!
Hey there, football fans. Whether you're cheering for the home team or visiting from out of town, Hilton Garden Inn offers you the perfect choice of comfort and convenience, spacious rooms, modern amenities, and a location that's just a short drive from Boston College. And don't forget to grab a delicious breakfast at our on-site restaurant, Punch Bowl, before you head to the stadium. Visit bostonbrooklime.hgi.com to book your stay today and get ready to elevate your game day. It's more than a hotel. It's your touchdown for an unforgettable Boston College football weekend.
Hey, Doug Flutie here.
And I'm Flutie Foundation board member and autism advocate Mike Palmer. Join our mission of helping people and families with autism live life to the fullest. From being part of an event like the Flutie 5K for Autism, hosting a fundraiser, donating or supporting our Stars of the Spectrum's career pursuits, your involvement directly helps the autism community. Go to FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Everybody that's been a part of our foundation, thank you all so much.
Go Eagles.
It's always the nights that end too quickly that leave memories that last a lifetime. Whether it's sharing a toast after work to celebrate being one day closer to the weekend, or hitting your lucky Keno numbers and celebrating with a dance you should be embarrassed to do in public. The games from the Mass State Lottery are the ideal complement to that unforgettable night. So let's celebrate the nights that connect us, because the ones we spend together are the ones we win together. The Mass State Lottery. Celebrate the night.
Life is full of choices. How to manage your time, your energy, and even your money. But what if you were given the chance to stop and get rewarded for the way you want to bank? That's the power of Evolve Rewards Checking from the Village Bank. Rewarding banking for the way you choose to live. Visit village-bank.com and evolve today. The Village Bank. Member FDIC. Member DIF.
Oh, yeah. Way different.
Welcome back to the BC Football Show. Great to have you with us as always on a Tuesday night, usually here on a Thursday night. Next week we'll be here on a Wednesday night. You got
this
that, Pete?
Thursday, Pete.
Listen, I've got to go back and put it on paper. I got to see. I'm a visual learner. So I put it all on paper and I can figure it out.
Next week, Wednesday will
Wednesday,
be a Thursday.
Thanks for confusing me.
I think he was here last Thursday just because it was a consistent thing.
And I had a great meal.
He was waiting for people to show up, but no one showed up.
No one showed. So I thought, kind of took it personally, but it wasn't me.
It's okay. It's all right.
At least, sorry, Pete.
He's like a nomad, but he's here tonight. Bill, Virginia Tech on the docket. We'll dive into them now. A 3-3 team. The way I look at that, though, is I don't think that's really an indicator of their talent. Is that correct?
Exactly. I mean, they've been in three really close games. Miami, they lost on a very controversial call. I think it was 38-34.
Yep.
They lost to Rutgers at the end of the game, really. Very, very, in my opinion, good Rutgers team. Tough game. And then Vanderbilt was overtime, and they lost that game. So, you know, they've lost some tough games, but very close games. They've been in a lot of tough battles, and they're definitely, like, you know, when you use the term battle tested, they're very battle tested. And, you know, it's a Thursday night game. They've played 37 Thursday night games at Lane Stadium, and so they're
good at it.
And I think
I'm
saying this, and I've said this to our team. And our team believes this too. We need to embrace that. That's what college football is all about.
Absolutely.
It's a great opportunity to go in there and, you know, play this night game with a great crowd and enter Sandman and all that stuff. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I've always taken the position that games like this against an opponent like this, in a place like this, on a night like this, with a TV audience like this, are reasons kids would come to Boston College.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's exactly what I've been telling them, and the captains have said the same thing. They all nod in agreement. You know, this is a great opportunity to go down there on a Thursday night. I think there's probably an NFL game and our game, and that's it. And let's go in there and play our best football and see what happens. I mean, it's a good team. They're well coached, but, you know, we feel good about our team and should be a good game.
You should remind them of what the best sound is at Lane Stadium.
The best sound?
The best sound.
What do you mean? I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Silence.
That's a trick question, Pete.
Exactly. No, and
the sounds Boston, of silence.
In Boston College,
Simon and Garfunkel.
Many years ago, played at Clemson against another really raucous environment, and you could hear a pin drop because BC was dominating play, and they shut the fans down.
Oh, yeah. True.
That's the best sound that you could hear or not hear on Thursday night.
That's the goal.
You can use that if you'd like. I don't need credit. But
I think the beginning of these games are very important because they're, you know, both teams are going to come out really very fired up. They're the home team, and you know, we've got to be able to weather the storm and meet that intensity that they're going to bring. And you know, our guys need to be ready right at the beginning.
And their offense, led by Kyron Drones, who we saw last year, they put up 600 yards last year. I know you probably went over that game. 321 on the ground. Drones was a big part of that. What challenges do they present?
Yeah, I mean, start with Drones, right? He's a really good quarterback who is a dual threat, right? They have a great running game with him. They have a really good running game with their back, number 33. They've got a few receivers. They got, I think, three receivers that have 15 catches or more. Number 83, the receiver, is a really good receiver. Their line is big and tough and athletic. So it's going to be a game where we have to play with great discipline. We have to play with great awareness. You know, we have to be aware of what's going on based on who they have in the game, where they have them aligned, and things like that. So, you know, I think it's a big challenge for our defense. But they've had a good 10 days here. They've practiced very well, and, you know, they'll be ready to go.
Well, you talked about the running back, Tootin. You know what his nickname is? Tugboat.
No. Yeah.
And that tells he brings people with him.
He's I've watched tape. Obviously watched Boston College, but watched a lot of opponents' tape, and this is probably the back that impressed me the most with yards after contact. There aren't a lot of them, but he just drags people.
He's got good speed. He's physical. He's a strong guy.
So how do you what's the magic?
We
got
to set the edge. You know, they do things to try to get the ball to the outside. We've got to do a good job of setting the edge, and we got to gang tackle him. We can't
numbers.
It's going to be hard for us for one guy to bring him down. It's got to be a swarm to the ball. We got to play with great effort and intensity, and you know, on every single snap. And but he's very good. He's going to be a challenge to stop.
Then you get a quarterback who's a big part of their offense. You know, he's got a number two ball carrier. And so what do you do different? No trade secrets, but what are some of the kind of the concepts you might employ to try to keep him under wraps?
Well, you got to try to you have to try to mix it up. I mean, you have to spin the dial. If you stay in one, you know, one front and coverage the whole game, you're going to get torched. So you got to do a good job. And in every single, you know, defensive call that you make, you everybody's got to know what they're responsible for. You know, I've got the quarterback. I've got the dive. I'm responsible for the seam. I'm responsible for the in cut. You know, that's going to be the big part of this game is playing with great eye discipline, great discipline on defense, communication, you know, in a stadium that's going to be loud, doing a good job of understanding what your responsibility is on every call. That's what we've tried to, you know, practice this week and make sure that our guys understand.
It was announced today on social media that Amari Jackson's out for the year.
Yeah.
Obviously a tough loss.
Yeah.
Outstanding cornerback. How do you compensate for his absence?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you know, Amari's a great player. He's an even better guy. You know, he's quiet. He works very, very hard. I feel terrible for him. I hate these.
Yeah.
It's a part of football that I hate.
Awful.
You know, like competing on the sideline comes down the wrong way. And he'll be back. He'll be back. And,
good.
And, you know, you've seen these injuries a lot, but he won't be back this year. We have a lot of talent there. We really do. Obviously, Max Tucker on that one side, he'll hold down that side. And then, you know, we have guys, freshmen, Ashton McShane, Brykeese Brown, Ryan Turner. There's a number of guys there that can step in and play, you know, Cam Martinez, Curry Johnson at nickel, you know, J.J. Williams. I mean, there's guys, there's talent in the secondary. So, you know, you definitely – it's hard to replace Amari Jackson. He's an excellent player, but there's a committee of guys that can replace him.
And over the last several weeks, even it seems you've moved more to a more balanced approach in terms of scheme, a lot more two-man and four-man quarters, keeping the ball in front, make teams earn their yards, and that's got to help a young cornerback.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to give him help. And I think the other thing is we got to really tackle well in this game. I think overall – this season, we've tackled pretty well. At times, we have not tackled well. And I think we have to really, really do a good job of tackling in this game, tackling in space, tackling the quarterback. That includes being disciplined in our rush lanes. We've got to be very disciplined. If you're doing your own thing, you're going to open up a crease, and Drones is going to take it, and it's not going to be pretty. So, you know, we've got to take a very disciplined approach to how we play defense in this game.
No, I had a chance to visit with my counterpart down at Virginia Tech, and
all-timer Mike Burnup.
Burnup's one of the all-time greats. Just ask him. But the but
he's been doing games longer than Pete.
But I asked him about Drones, and he says he is helter skelter. It's sink or swim. We can't figure it out. So how do you get him to not play well? He goes, pressure him, make him make plays. And if you take the pressure off and he's very confident, he's really hard to beat. But I said, okay.
We saw that last year.
I would expect that's probably a part of your design.
Yeah. You want me to comment on that?
No. I'm not going to.
I think he's a really good player.
He's
so
a very good player.
I think you got to mix it up. And if you try to do one thing the whole night, it's going to be a struggle for you. So you got to spin the dial and – you know, do some different things.
You talked during the bye about self-scouting. Coaches do that too, reflecting on where you are through six games. What have you learned about not only your team but the coaching staff?
Yeah, look, I think we do a lot of things well, but there's other things that we have to that are part of our offense and defense and special teams that we can do better, right? You know, I really believe we can block a punt. You know, I believe that we have the right scheme. We just got to – coach it better. We got to scheme it up better. I think we can get more return yards, punt return and kickoff return if they allow us to kick, you know, return the kickoff with a little bit better, you know, a little bit more, detail.
Yep.
I think offensively, you know, I don't want to get into all the details, but there's a lot of things we can do better. There's some things we're doing really well, but there's things that we have to understand about our offense that we can understand now through six games. This is who we are, and this is what we have to do to be better. And then defensively, I think we've done a lot of good things defensively. I think we got to really, again, get back to understanding on third down. We got to really do a good job of getting off the field. But first and second down, we got to do a great job of putting them in third and long, then third and long, we got to get off the field. We can't let them convert the third and 13s, the third and 10s. You know, yep. We got to make them punt.
And the thing too about, you know, you're forcing teams to go a long way to get points, which is you want them to go. You want to get out three and out, obviously. But if teams are going a long way to score points, the odds are that they're not disciplined enough to avoid either the turnover, third down conversion, just inability to move the chains. And that's probably one of the highlights, I think, of the defense at this point is, you know, you don't like giving up long drives. But on the other hand, you're making teams earn their points.
No doubt. I mean, you know, these guys, because of the approach that Tim Lewis takes, I think it's very difficult to beat us in one or two plays. You're going to have to earn every blade of grass. And, I think we do a good job of that. I just think, you know, there's some times where we have them, and we've got to have that killer instinct to finish them. And I think it's the same thing on offense, right? You know, we get the two-score lead. We need the three-score lead. It's that third drive. That's the drive, you know, where we can make it 21-3 or 21-0. You know, we've got to have that instinct on offense and defense. And I think we worked hard on that these last 10 days. We'll see what happens.
It's that knockout punch drive,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The coaches preach.
Right. We got to do a good job of understanding the where the game's at, what we've been doing, coaching and playing. And, hey, man, this is a critical drive in the game where we can really, you know, do some damage on this drive.
But the experience last week is a great talk about teaching moment. There's an example. You're up by two scores. One more changes the complexion of this football game.
Game's over.
Next time you're in a situation like that, you just, hey, remember Virginia?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you got a chance to go up on them. And, you know, you don't take advantage of the chance that you have in all three phases. And we have to do a better job of that.
He's Bill O'Brien, Pete Cronin, Jommy DePerrell, maybe Simon and Garfunkel, a little Sounds of Silence. You never know, Coach, at Lane Stadium.
Bridge over troubled waters.
Oh, boy. Whoa. Boy, that kind of defines our relationship, doesn't it?
I've never been called
not
that.
Me.
But if the shoe fits.
No, of course. That song kind of always makes me cry, Coach. That's a tough one.
Meter.
That's
I don't
a
think you should one. Admit that publicly.
Well, I just did. So.
I'm the bridge on the River Kwai.
Whoa.
All right. Well, hopefully it will be silent at Lane Stadium in front of 65,000 plus. It is a sellout, and you've experienced Enter Sandman, right?
Yes. So I think I told you guys one story. So I coached there at Georgia Tech. George Gotsie was our quarterback, was making his first start. I believe that Michael Vick was their quarterback. Here comes lightning. Here comes rain. Early season game.
Oh, yeah.
First game of the college season.
Yep.
Boom, lightning. Game is canceled. Lee Corso's car got struck by lightning.
That's right. I remember you told us that.
Canceled. Never played the game. Never made it up. Went there. Coached at Maryland. Had a good Maryland team. Took Maryland in there on a Thursday night. Didn't go so well. Duke, you know it didn't go well. Right? So it hasn't been, you know, but it's a great place to play. And, you know, our guys will embrace it and they'll be ready to go.
Yeah. No question. All right, coming back, we'll dive into the BC offense versus the Hokies defense on the BC Football Show. After this, from the Stockyard and our friends from Bud Light.
Some days you hit snooze, but not today. Today you have to go on a run to get burgers for the tailgate. You've got to haul something heavy, a cooler stocked with Bud Light. When you've got beer and football, nothing is hard. Until the other team scores. Bud Light. Easy to drink. Easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus. Copyright 2024 Anheuser-Busch. Bud Light Beer. St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, this is Paul Sullivan. Vehicle maintenance may be the last thing on your mind, but cars do need regular checkups. Come into any Sullivan Tire and our experts will let you know what looks okay or what may need attention. You decide what fits within your budget. Get the peace of mind that you deserve at a price you can afford.
Thanks, Paul. Make an appointment online by visiting SullivanTire.com. And go BC Eagles!
A new era of BC football is here. Led by first-year head coach Bill O'Brien. Catch the action this fall with tickets starting as low as $10 for select games. Group tickets are also available, providing exclusive experiences, including on-field access for your youth team or organization. Don't miss your chance to be part of the excitement on the Heights. Secure your seats to see Bill O'Brien and the Eagles by visiting bceagles.com. Check out Traxxas, the fastest name in radio control. They have high-performance RC cars and trucks for the whole family. Traxxas is the leader in hobby-class radio control fun. They even have waterproof electronics to keep the fun going year-round. Learn more about Traxxas at TRAXXAS.com and use their store locator to find a Traxxas dealer near you. Traxxas, the fastest name in radio control.
Hi, Tom Coughlin here. Can you imagine getting the news that your child has cancer? Each year, more than 15,000 kids across the U.S. are diagnosed with this disease. The Tom Coughlin J Fund's goal is to be there for these families so they can be there for their sick child. We offer assistance with household bills, financial coaching, and emotional support. We hope you will join us helping these families. We need you on our team. Give now at tcjfund.org.
Since 1970, the campus school at Boston College has been educating students ages 3 to 22 with extensive support needs, including complex medical challenges. Located on the BC main campus, our dedicated team of teachers, therapists, nurses, and volunteers work together to realize the potential of each student. You can help make a difference. Join us on Saturday, October 5th at 9 a.m. for the campus school 5K Run and Roll. Your support directly funds the technology, equipment, and materials our students deserve. Learn more at bc.edu/campus school.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to the Stockyard with your host, John Meter Perrell.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us as always.
Meter, I just want to chime in here.
Yes.
I listened to your podcast today at Coach Brown.
Episode 17.
That was awesome.
And let me say, your job is in jeopardy.
Oh,
Coach, I think
every day.
Angling for an ESPN gig and when he's 78 years old, kind of. I mean, you ran the conversation.
Maybe before that.
You had appropriate questions. I tried to run it out there for a couple of years. But the you did a really good. I enjoyed the interview with Coach Brown. It was
super. No, thank you.
We were excited to have Coach Brown on.
I was secondary.
You didn't do anything.
I was an accessory.
That's why it was a good interview. He said nothing.
He was the color commentator.
That's right.
I was take the ball and run, Coach.
It was cool to have him on though, because just to talk about his philosophy and how he sees things and recruiting and on the ice and the instincts that he's looking for in a player, and he's such a humble guy. I mean, he's been here for a while now. He's still giving credit to Jerry York, who's a legendary guy and an incredible person for the culture. But you got to keep the culture going. You know what I mean? It just doesn't – just Jerry left, so it's up to you to – and he's kept it going, I would say, very, very well.
He's listening to him, and I've got to know him a little bit, but his demeanor, his tone is so calming.
Yeah.
And I sit there and I go, he might throw things in the locker room. You're like,
I don't know.
I
don't think so.
I think he's a calm guy.
Yeah.
He's a lot like me. We're a lot alike.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Not really.
I'm not sure he has teapot on his resume.
I think cold water. Yeah.
He's a really, obviously a great coach, but, he's a very thoughtful guy. And it was great to have him on.
But it's pretty clear the emphasis is on speed.
No doubt.
But you see that when you watch
their team.
They skate fast.
You go watch their team last year. I'm watching their team. I'm sure it's the same this year. Like, they just are up and down the ice. It's a fast-paced game, and they obviously look for
that. Wait till you see these freshmen they brought in. Yeah. One of them is the Bruins' number one pick. Dean Letourneau. Yeah. He's 6'7".
Yeah.
6'7" hockey player. Like, Zdeno Chara.
Got the extra long stick going.
Yeah, jeez. Pretty good reach there.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening to the podcast.
Yeah, appreciate
that, of course.
I'm one of the several thousand listeners.
Now we're up to six. Six people watching.
No. We have a lot of people listening. But there's going to be a lot of people watching and listening on Thursday night.
Yep.
Virginia Tech's defense, Antoine Powell-Ryland, defensive end. I'm sure you know him.
Yep.
Number 52.
Very good player.
Second in the conference behind Ezeraku and sacks.
Yeah. Very good player.
How do you neutralize him?
Yeah, you got to give people help. You're not going to be able to do it one-on-one. You got to mix it up on them. You got to be able to run the ball. You know, if you're in a game where you got to throw it 50 times and you're letting him tee it up, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a long night. So he's a great player. They have a good front. They do a really good job on the interior too. Number 16 is a really good player too. Number 6, their corners are really good. They have NFL corners.
Yep.
So, you know, it's a big challenge. It'll be a big challenge for us. You know, like I said, our guys are, you know, they practice very well, and they're embracing it. They're excited to go down there and play against a good team.
Yeah, and they're a pressure defense. They like to throw a lot at you, a lot of different looks. But you've got a steady diet of that throughout the course of the season. And so kind of more of the same for your offense.
Yeah, you got to be able to handle the pressure against Brent Pry. Brent Pry defense, that's what it's all about. I mean, there were certain games that I watched this week, all the games, but, you know, 3, 4, 5 plays in a row, he's bringing pressure, you know. Sometimes all-out pressure. So you better be ready for it at all times. You got to be on high alert at all times. They don't always pressure, but you better be ready for it at all times. And we tried to show them that in practice quite a bit this week.
And it's interesting that the kind of game within the game was when you bring in a lot of pressure, the secondary can play real aggressively in man coverage because they know the ball's got to come out quick.
Especially when you're bringing 6, no doubt about it. If you're bringing 5, you know, hopefully we can pick it up. But when you're bringing 6, yeah, the ball's going to come out quick, and they do that quite a bit. So, you know, we've got to do a good job of being ready with our quick game, our adjustments, our blitz adjustments, things like that.
And it was, I think, it was against Western Kentucky. Second half, they kept coming with pressure, and you did a good job of kind of taking advantage of what they gave you.
Yeah, but I would say that, you know, that's got to be ready to go in the first half, because if you're not ready for that in the first half, you know, it might be over by halftime because they are an aggressive defense, and you got to be ready for it from the get-go.
Kamari Morales, nice game for him at Virginia, continues to emerge, had a touchdown catch. He's got 3 this year.
Yep.
You expect more of an emphasis there?
Yeah, I mean, Jeremiah Franklin and Kamari Morales are really solid tight ends, good guys. They practice well. I think over the last couple games, the ball has gone to those guys a little bit more, and it should. You know, they do a good job on the inside of the coverage. They block well in the running game. They're out there every day. They're very consistent players and good guys. You know, Kamari's a transfer from North Carolina. Jeremiah, very consistent player. Good BC guys, no doubt about it.
So I know a lot of teams love to steal from other games. Coaches are not that they're not creative, but if something's working, it worked a couple of weeks ago, hey, let's put that into our scheme. I assume you guys do the same thing, and not departing from what you're trying to accomplish on offense, but I imagine there's a few things that are in there that they struggle with on defense that you might be able to capitalize on.
Yeah, I think we have to do a good job of, you know, going into the game, hey, this is how we want to attack these guys. As the game goes, you know, after third, fourth series, okay, is it what we thought it was going to be? Nope, it's something totally different. All right, we better have these plays ready to go. And I think that's what Will and myself and, you know, the offensive staff, we really try to think about a lot. And it's the same thing on defense. You know, when I go in there with Tim, hey, man, hey, here's how we're going to attack these guys. But what if they come out with something a lot different, you know, different personnel grouping, different this? Well, here's our call. And I think that's the game within the game that we have to be good at. And as coaches, I think at times we've done a good job of that this year. We got to do a better job.
And it's interesting, if you step back and look at it, if a team does do something that's quite different, it's putting stress on them.
Right.
They're kind of out of their comfort zone a little bit.
Right. They're not doing what they're – yeah. And I would say this, you know, some of these teams that you play, we always use the phrase in New England. I use it here at BC too. They do what they do. You know, they're not going to do any – but, you know, some teams change it up. Virginia Tech has a they do what they do. They take a lot of pride in bringing pressure on defense, and, yep, you know, they have a certain offensive scheme. But there's things that they do that are a little bit different from game to game within the game, and so we have to be ready for that.
For years, we always heard about the Bud Foster defense,
yeah,
the lunch pail defense, the Frank Beamer special teams. They still give out a number 25 to their special teams player of the week in honor of Frank Beamer.
Yeah.
That still holds true?
Yeah, no, you know, that's Virginia Tech, right? They pride themselves on, you know, playing really good defense. Trying to, you know, Bud Foster did a great job of making you feel like you were in a phone booth, right? He it was a very difficult defense to go against, and it's the same thing. You know, they're very similar, and special teams is still a huge emphasis. They have 83 is a really good returner, punt returner, and kickoff returner. You better be ready for them to come after a punt. You better be ready to protect on field goals and PATs because they're going to come after those. So, you know, we have to be ready in all phases.
You know, what's interesting, too, about an aggressive defense, if you can capitalize on they're going to be weak somewhere. You can turn that into a big play and kind of change the complexion of a football game.
I mean, I think that's true, and that's the thing about all defenses. Every defense has some type of weakness, right? You know, obviously the obvious is if it's a too high defense, you should have a light box. You should be able to run the ball. If it's a one high defense, you're one on one on the outside. You know, those are the obvious ones. Four verticals versus whatever it might be. You know, but you have to figure that out. And these guys are pretty multiple in what they do defensively, so it's not always vanilla. It's certainly not really ever vanilla, to be honest with you. With Brent Pry, he does a really good job. So, you know, we've, like I said, we got to be on high alert on every snap.
And that's really a very important point because you talk about the quarterback being on top of what's going on, but a lot of this stuff is sight adjustment.
No, yeah, the receivers, the tight ends, the backs in protection, everybody's got to be on the same page. Drew Kendall, who's a hell of a player for us, you know, getting us into the right protection, the right going to the right people in the run game and in the passing game, that's going to be a big part of the game.
Jaden Skeets coming on, too. I know you've talked him up a lot. Great catch radius, which is a popular term now.
Yeah. And Skeet's a very young player, too, still. Like, Skeet's got an awesome future, man. He's a great kid. Obviously, Boston guy, Hyde Park, Catholic Memorial. Like, this is what we're looking for, right?
Right.
Max Tucker went to the Zavarian CM game last week. It was an unbelievable
game. What a game.
Yeah, great game. Great game. And there's a lot of good players.
There were some social media sightings, I heard. You were all over the place. Bill O'Brien's here tonight.
Must have been a slow news night.
No. Well, you got some players coming in from both those schools.
We do. And, you know, both those teams are very well coached. Al Fornaro at Zavarian and obviously Coach DiBiasso at CM. You know, very. And the Catholic Conference is a great conference this year, you know, as it is every year. But, you know, St. John's Prep, my buddy Brian St. Pierre, who's a great player here at BC.
It's our guy.
Done an unbelievable
former
job. Former sideline guy. Great coach.
And he saw the light.
Malden Catholic's better. You know, BC High, another Paul Zukowskis.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great player here.
He's the Z-man.
He's going to do an unbelievable job at BC High. So, I really eventually would love our whole roster to come from, you know, those type of schools and the public schools in Massachusetts. It'd be cool.
You know, we got to get into with him coming up. You probably doesn't want to talk about it, but HOF. You know what that stands for?
Hall of Fame.
Saturday night?
Saturday morning.
St. John's Prep.
8 a.m.
Congratulations.
Academic?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's quite an honor, Coach.
Embarrassing me, Meter. Certainly not for my playing.
Academic Hall of Fame?
Yeah, no. I mean,
me neither.
No, it certainly wasn't. I love St. John's Prep. It's a life-changing place. I give my parents a lot of credit for, you know, I was growing up in Andover and was headed to Andover High, which is a great school too, but my dad thought the thing that was best for me was to go to St. John's Prep. And, you know, I have lifelong friends. Obviously, you guys know Mike Panos, who played here.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of other guys. So, yeah, I'm very grateful and, you know, very honored to be in that Hall of Fame. That's a pretty cool Hall of Fame to be in. There's a lot of good guys in that.
Kidding me? It's like being in Cooperstown.
No.
Guys are loaded.
Almost. Easy now.
Just like it.
Yeah.
Ken,
I wasn't comparing it to Cooperstown.
It's all right.
Canton, Ohio.
St. John's Prep, Cooperstown.
Thank you. Leave it to Meter to really just crush it.
So you mentioned well-coached kids.
Yeah.
So and obviously, you know, you identified that conference as a lot of good coaches, yeah. And the kids. Do you ever get kids that weren't well coached, and what is the difference between the two?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you have to. You're not going to get every guy on your roster is not going to be, you know, you know the most well coached guy. You know, depending on what position he plays and things like that, it's up to you to develop him. I just think, like, when I talk about like the Catholic Conference, it's also the schools themselves, right? And yeah. and what we're all about at Boston College, right? If you walk, so we went to see Paul Zukauskas at BC High. Now he's got a lot of younger players. They ended up beating Malden Catholic the other night when, you know, on the same night that CM beat Xaverian. But Paul runs the program the right way. BC High obviously is a place that, you know, high academics, high character, give back to the community, good sports. And I would say the same thing. You could use that model with a lot of those schools. And, you know, I'm leaving out, I'll probably get in trouble. I don't mean to be leaving out the ISLs, right? The Belmont Hills, the Dexters, the BB&Ns. I mean, they're all great schools that we're hoping could be a pipeline to BC, but there's other great schools that recruit Massachusetts. Let's see if we can get our share of Massachusetts.
Back in the day, they said that about Marion High when Pete was there.
May she rest in peace.
Yeah. May she rest Marion in peace. High. Framingham, Mass. Right?
Oh, yeah. We could talk about Marion if you'd like. But
you were in that Hall of Fame. Does that still exist?
You again, better be.
Not an academic, but yeah.
It's in some building someplace in Framingham?
Somewhere.
All they right, save good. The plaque?
They say, that's all you need.
It's a plaque. It's on the wall.
So there's proof that you're there.
Yes, good. Evidence.
Yes,
evidence.
Yes,
evidence. Yeah, but well, at my house, you walk in the front door, it's all everything. It's right there. It's every award.
Oh, really?
Every award I ever.
Oh, so you have a room that's
the
I Love Me room?
I have a room. No, that's funny.
The I Love Me room. I love myself.
No, I played with a guy from Notre Dame, a fellow named by the name of Joe Theismann. He had an I Love Me house.
I love Joe Theismann.
Oh, my God.
I've gotten to know Joe.
Every square inch on his wall of his house was,
he's the best, though.
Had something on it. I was like, oh, my goodness.
He is awesome. Wow.
Never lacking in the self-congratulatory.
He changed his name to rhyme with Heisman.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I got a steady diet of that. But the one thing about Joe Theismann, I'll tell you, when he stepped inside the gridiron, you wanted nobody other than him to have the ball in his hands.
No doubt. Great player.
Fierce competitor. Would
love
do anything.
I love those teams that you played on. Yeah,
those were a punter, too.
Well, I can remember, like, those playoff games back then, you know, you played the Cowboys or the Vikings or, you know, there were some great, and the stands would be shaking. Yeah. And the Hogs.
That place was nuts.
Yeah. That was when they're the Commanders now. And they're actually pretty good. They got this rookie quarterback.
Yeah,
but back
then,
that was NFL football. When you thought about, you know, Summerall and Madden doing those games, I remember my dad. My dad loved Joe Gibbs.
Well,
never forget this. I will never forget this. I went to the New England Patriots my first year, and we have an unbelievable team. If we beat the Redskins that year, I mean, I think it was 55-3 or something. Right,
smoke job.
And I knew somebody on their staff. So after the game, I'm kind of walking across, and there's Coach Belichick and Coach Gibbs shaking hands, like kind of right next to me. And I remember the look on Joe Gibbs' face. I was like, I bet Joe Gibbs has never been beaten like this in his life.
Oh, he didn't take that easy. Didn't take that stuff easy.
No,
we were wondering the next day whether Belichick was rubbing it in.
I don't know about that. See, Meter, we don't have to go there. I was just telling a story.
I told you. They played, that was the hot topic.
You know what happened in that game? They played Tampa 2 the whole game. And Brady
burned him.
Destroyed it.
Burned him. Yeah.
Well, there was probably a good reason why they played Tampa 2. Like personnel issues or whatever.
I mean, we had Moss, Welker, Falk. Well,
that's why Brady. Well, that's why they played Tampa 2. Because they had all those guys that were on top on you.
That team killed everybody.
It
was unbelievable.
Until the end.
It's all right.
But we digress.
We do, but that's good Hall of Fame talk.
I like to digress, though. That's what we were talking about off air, you know?
Yep, digression.
Digressing helps the show go along.
Nothing wrong with digression. That's what we do throughout our lives. He's Cronin. I'm Ida Perrell. He's O'Brien. This is the BC Football Show. Final timeout right after this.
Some days you hit snooze, but not today. Today you have to go on a run to get burgers for the tailgate. You've got to haul something heavy, a cooler stocked with Bud Light. When you've got beer and football, nothing is hard. Until the other team scores. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus, copyright 2024, Anheuser-Busch, Bud Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
At Mass General Brigham, we're one against cancer. We're building a world-class center of cancer care, with the most cancer surgeries and specialists in the region. With new collaborations, approaches, and treatments, like the only precision proton therapy treatment in New England. We're there with patients for every twist and turn. There's only one, Mass General Brigham. To learn more, visit massgeneralbrigham.org/cancer.
Looking to make waves with a radio ad or public presentation? Need to polish your public speaking skills? At MoVibe Productions, we specialize in crafting compelling audio and coaching talent. Our beautiful, state-of-the-art Studio G by the Sea offers the perfect creative environment for recording audio and video. From script to sound, from idea to imagery, MoVibe Productions can make it happen. Discover an ocean of success at MoVibeProductions.com.
Boston College 1992 alum Matt McGovern is the proud owner of the McGovern Auto Group, Boston's fastest growing family of car dealerships. Matt is proud to serve BC, its students, alumni, and their families. With 26 dealerships across the Boston Metro and over 7,000 cars to choose from, don't settle for a new vehicle from just anyone. Join your fellow Eagles, Matt McGovern, Mark Walker, and Tom Kilgariff at McGovern Auto Group. Visit them online, McGovernAuto.com, and go Eagles!
Friends of the Heights is Boston College's official name, image, and likeness collective, serving 120 athletes on 9 teams and growing. Friends of the Heights prepares BC athletes to serve our community and to improve their brand, all while helping our team succeed. Giving to Friends of the Heights directly impacts our team's successes on the field, court, ice, and track. Help our students. Help our teams. Help Boston College. For more information, please visit friendsoftheheights.com.
Life is full of choices. How to manage your time, your energy, and even your money. But what if you were given the chance to stop and get rewarded for the way you want to bank? That's the power of Evolve Rewards Checking from the Village Bank. Rewarding banking for the way you choose to live. Visit village-bank.com and evolve today. The Village Bank. Member FDIC. Member DIF.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to the Stockyard with your host, John Meter Burrell.
All right, welcome back to the Stockyard in Brighton. Programming reminder, we'll be here next Wednesday, not Thursday, Wednesday, as the Eagles take on Louisville next Friday night. And that should be a great crowd. Tickets, information available at bceagles.com and 617-552-GO-BC. Don't forget we'll be on the air on Thursday night at 7. A lot to digest here, Pete. We'll get you to the stadium on time. Don't worry. You'll have one of those radioactive turkey legs.
Radio, they are. They glow in the dark, those babies. Have you ever had one of those down at Virginia Tech?
You have a radioactive turkey leg.
No, it is.
You haven't lived until you've tasted
it's
one.
It's bigger
of these
than days. Your head. That's huge. It's enormous. He tried one year, and I looked at him like, what are you doing?
And the guy, Burnoff, who you talked about earlier, said to me, do you have any idea how many years that's going to knock off your life? I said, that thing's as old as I am.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's... Yeah,
they glow in the dark. They're radioactive. I mean,
it's an interesting environment. But let's digest your keys to the game, Bill O'Brien. What do you have for us?
Look, I know you guys probably get... it's monotonous, but I'm telling you, we have got to take care of the ball. I think if we take care of the ball and we can force them into some turnovers themselves, then we got a shot. And we've got to handle the noise. You know, especially, you know, obviously offensively. We got to be able to handle the noise, understand, you know, how we're handling the noise and be ready for it right from the get-go. I think the other thing is we've got to play with great poise, with better poise. We play with poise in some of these games. It's not consistent enough. We have to play with poise, got to play with great communication, and, you know, we've got to be – we can't dip our toe in the water in this game. We got to be ready to go right from the jump. And I think these guys understand that. We've hammered it. They've talked about it. The leaders have talked about it. So I think these guys will be ready.
But you said, you know, you say it all the time, there's going to be good plays and there'll be bad plays, and that your ability to kind of not let the last play impact the next one unless it's going to make it a better play.
Yeah, I talked – you know, it's funny you bring that up. I kind of went through some words and defined them for these guys this week, right? I talked about resiliency. I talked about humility. I talked about grit, grind. I talked about the ability to, you know, pay attention to details, you know, there are a number of guys on our team. Like, if you look at Donovan Ezeraku, he's a very detailed player. He obviously studies film. He does things outside of the meeting room, you know, on his own. I would say Drew Kendall does the same thing. We need a bunch more guys to understand that, hey, this is, like I always say, if you have five classes, this is your sixth class, and you've got a budget time to put your time in and study film, because I think at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. There was a couple coaches this week that came out in college and talked about, like, you know, a lot of these kids, and this is not the case at BC. I really don't believe it. But what we've got to stay away from is, like, all the different kids thinking about their own brand.
Right.
You know what helps your brand?
Good winning teams.
Winning.
Yeah. Winning helps your brand. If you win, you have a great brand because you're associated with a winning football program, a winning team. I don't think we have that at BC, but I do think that's something that we've always got to make sure that these kids know. You're a part of a team. You got to be a great teammate and continue to try to play complementary football. That's what we have to do.
Yeah, I had that conversation with an individual last year who had high aspirations, high expectations, and I asked him the question. I said, what do you want out of this season? He wanted to be a number one draft pick, and I said, well, it behooves you to influence your teammates and be really good, because when you're really good, you attract attention, and if you're one of the guys who's getting the attention, it correlates to where you're going to get drafted.
I remember I tell you guys a lot of stories because I have a lot of stories, just like you do, Pete. You know, and Meter, you have great stories. So I remember sitting – we were as of the 2011 Super Bowl in New England, and we were in the pregame meeting, and Bill did his deal, and then he said, Tom, you have something to say? And Tom stood up, and he said, you will be remembered forever if you win this game. You're remembered for winning. You're remembered for going out there and winning these type of games. And that's, you know, really that
I
always
know.
Resonated with me, you know.
I know
you know.
Nobody remembers Super Bowl 18 other than the Raiders.
I do.
It. Yeah, the Raiders.
Was that Marcus Allen?
Marcus Allen reversed the field. Yes. Jack Squirek had the
the pick six.
Pick six.
Yeah, that was I could talk about that
I'll
night.
Never forget that game. I remember that game.
That was quite
that
a quite
was that
a run.
The Rose Bowl?
Tampa.
No, Tampa.
Tampa.
Yeah. All right, college football this week, fascinating again. You can't turn it off. Saturday was a beautiful day. I'm sitting there on my tuchus watching every game. You know, and
tuchus?
Yeah, it's a
were you schwitzing while you were
schwitzing? I was schwitzing, too.
We'll talk about that after.
So it's a popular word. But the Oregon-Ohio State game.
Oh, yeah, great game.
Dan Lanning, the coach of Oregon, 12 men on the field intentionally to drain time off the clock.
I know. He said he did that intentionally.
Yes.
Good for him.
What do you think about that?
I don't know, man. I'm not prepared to comment on that.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I will tell you this.
I mean,
it's going to be a rule change.
When you start labeling coaches geniuses and stuff like that, there are no geniuses. Coach Gallup's sitting right here. He will tell you, he'll be the first to tell you, there are no geniuses in coaching. So,
no.
I mean, maybe he did that on purpose. God bless him if he did.
Great
it
spin.
Was a great game.
Great
it was a great,
great game.
Yeah, he spun it to his benefit.
Yeah. He did. Oh, yeah, that was intentional.
No question.
I wanted to do that.
Good that was him. A heck of a game.
It was a great game.
And I'm sure you watched that thinking, all right, what's up with the clock management?
Yeah, that was a difficult situation. Now, you know, obviously I'm a big Ryan Day fan. And there was a pass interference call right before that, and the clock was going to start on the ready for play.
Right.
And I don't know if – You know that the quarterback was quite ready for that. So about 7 or 8 seconds came off the clock, and he may have thought that wasn't the case. So on the next play, when he scrambled, you know, he probably thought he had a little bit more time than he actually had. So I think that's a tough situation. I'm not defending anybody. I'm not trying to, but I just think those are situations that you got to cover. We actually covered that situation today in practice.
No kidding.
These are things that come up at the end of games that you got to be ready. And so when situations come up in college football, we try to cover them in practice because you can never cover every situation that comes up in a football game, that could come up in a football game. You have to try to, you know, chip away at it every single week.
And that's two teams that are highly ranked and deservedly so.
Yeah.
And it was a knockdown, drag-out football game, and it came down to, you know, one or two or five or six plays in that football game that made the difference.
I mean, you looked at all, like if you watched, you know, Ole Miss beat or I think LSU beat Ole Miss in overtime. That was unbelievable. South Carolina, Alabama was unbelievable.
Great game.
It was 43 seconds to go. South Carolina scores, gets the onside kick, and then Alabama brings blitz zero on every play, and they can't get in field goal range. And so it was a tough loss for South Carolina, but it was unbelievable that they were in that game like that. There were other games that were just great football games, so fun to watch.
As you say, parity, a flat.
There's a lot of parity
of the earth.
Every game in college football is like a playoff game.
Every week, you know, and I think that's what we have to understand. We can still do something here and this year, and we've got to play our best.
Bill, a pleasure, man. Go get them on Thursday night.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
We look forward to it. Eagles and the Hokies in Blacksburg at 7:30 on the BC Sports Network from Van Wagner. Special thanks to Justin Turpin. Griffin Ward back in the studio. He's Pete Cronin. I'm John Mita Perel. Have a great rest of your week, everybody, and thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Boston College Football Show presented by Bud Light. Join us on Thursday nights throughout the season from the Stockyard in Brighton. The Boston College Football Show has been sponsored by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Please enjoy responsibly. Empower. Take control of your financial future to empower what's next. Mass General Brigham, the official medical provider of Boston College Athletics. McGovern Auto Group, the official auto group of Boston College Athletics. Rodenheiser, trusted plumbing, heating, AC, and electrical experts for over 90 years. The proceeding has been a Van Wagner presentation of the Boston College Athletics Sponsorships Radio Network. Yeah.